Something hot and fresh, baby. Give it to me. Woo!
On cue.
Here we go. The funk to the flip to the scrizzle, Casey. Hey, it's something new, something funky. Here we go, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to
MLO.
I'm your host, Eddie Nett. We got the full crew together for the election edition, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, super exciting. Yeah.
Roll around the corner, starting with CK. Say hello.
Hi. Nice to be here.
That's all you got?
That's what I got today.
CK, a.k.a. Mortgage Guru, a.k.a. Kempers. He is here sitting in. We've got Casey. Say what up, Casey.
What up, everybody? Casey Carpenter, your veteran and mortgage guru.
Oh, looking good as always. Sporting that freshy tie. And our newest member of the group, second episode, Bree Fisher, a.k.a. Mother of Mortgage. Bree, say hello.
Hey, Mother.
What up, everybody? Hello. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like bringing
energy.
The heat.
Ooh. Energy. It's just like a win up. Wednesday's what day? Hump day.
Of course, he had to throw in that hump day, guys.
This is a very exciting episode, hot topic, because we are weeks away from the presidential election, and we are going to talk about how that impacts your mortgage, everyone. Whether you're considering to refinance, you're planning to buy or sell, this is a topic that everyone should take 30, 40 minutes this episode might be, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to guess the what it is.
Yeah. We guess
we take time. Bets, yeah.
Side but bets. This is going to be worth your time, everyone. And before jumping in, Bree was going to hit off because we're all wearing a certain color to support a certain cause.
I don't know if you can tell.
We are. We're really quickly here, guys, before we jump into election, we're celebrating Pink Day today in support of breast cancer awareness for both women and men. So please go get your mammograms and get checked. It takes, you know, a lot less time to go get that pre-check than it does to, unfortunately, have cancer with that. So please go get your checks and hopefully all is good.
That's right. I love that. I love that we do that, and everyone's wearing their version of pink all across the board.
Got the pink on.
And even our main supporters, Kano Jana and producer Joshua Billis, they supported the lights. Look at the lights. We got setup is pink.
If you can't see us, guys, we got pink lights in the back. We got different pink, you know, shirts, ties, pants, whatever everything. You want.
Everyone's
it's all
rolling.
There.
Everyone's rolling. So back on the topic today, once again, you are listening to MLO, and this is the episode of season two, ep two, right?
Yes, sir.
Boom. And we're talking about how the election will impact your mortgage. So first and foremost, I'm going to let Casey kind of lead because everyone wants to know. Like,
yeah, it's a hot topic out there, guys, and you know, one thing to think about is there's just a lot of variables involved. There's a lot of play. You can look at historical data, which we'll go into. We're going to talk about how this year is a little bit different, you know, than past years, for sure.
A lot of variables.
A lot of variables. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's still a either guess or risk that you're going to factor in to think, you know, which way this is going to go. And so we're going to try to give you the best advice on it. But we got a jam-packed session here, and it's a good topic, election. Stuff changes. What's going to happen?
So we're bringing off the first point. It's going to be what makes this election year different than all years. That might seem super obvious, right, guys? But let's talk about it. Pandemic, what's going to happen with rates, Feds holding their margins as well. What is going to happen? Because everyone naturally is going to look, well, what happened in 2016 and 2012? And they're going back and back and back. And we've got data to support that. But I want to hear, maybe Bree could bring this forward. How are these big changes with the pandemic actually making this really hard to predict?
You know, we've all gone through so much this year, no matter what part of the country that you're in. You know, here locally in the Northwest and in California, we've had massive fires that have certainly, you know, impacted some of our economy and some social unrest for sure. Mm. And, you know, the pandemic and a whole lot going on. So with that, that makes it a very different than the past years. You know, going back several years here in 2008, that was kind of an unusual election there, but that's a different year. You know, that was really when the mortgage meltdown kind of hit federally, and so we can't compare it to this year so much. You know, we've seen 2016, where interest rates, you know, went up almost 1% within a few weeks, but that's not historically, you know, what happens. Historically, we're typically between an eighth and, you know, 3/8 of a difference in interest rate after an election year.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about going up?
Going up.
Okay, just making it clear. So going up, if you're like, just to make easy math, you're looking at a 4 would go typically to 4.125 or 4.25. That is what the charts are normally saying, a slight increase, right, Kempers?
Yeah, typically, I mean, we look at 2016, we saw, you know, a lot of growth in the economy. Mm-hmm. Stock market was going crazy. So we did see interest rates go up with the economy growing and everything else. So I think that's a little bit different. We are, our stock market's at an all-time high right now. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. So that is a lot of variables that we, you know, it's not a lot of room to come down. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely room to go up with, you know, unemployment starting to ease out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But with COVID numbers going up, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. So back to that variable thing, so many, you know, balls in the air right now that we don't know what's going to drop and if interest rates are going to drop with those. So we're just going to talk about some of those indicators, how that those can affect us, and things to look out for.
I think, like, you know, what you're saying in here, and Bree, mm-hmm. Casey, and yourself kind of put together, what are the variables this year? A couple of big things. Obviously, we have an unpredictable economy right now.
Right.
So you're looking at unemployment rates and inflation that are really hard to test those waters, right? So that's usually a barometer to how interest rates and futures and investments are put into portfolios. So we have an inconsistent and unpredictable economical stance. Additionally, I think you've got the pending stim checks. So that's going to be a big swinger on essentially the optimism of the future. Are Americans going to have money in their pockets to fuel the economy? And is that going to stabilize it? Or are we going to run out of these coupons, if you will, right? Thirdly, I think you've got a big swinger on tolerance from supply and demand.
Oh.
So you've got the mortgage companies that have been overwhelmed. And people don't understand, just because maybe the access to money or the Fed rates is so low, they don't necessarily set the rate that you're getting directly from your loan officer, your mortgage advisor, right, guys?
Right,
so
right.
A supply and demand is going to be a really important thing, because often companies will raise the rates to throttle back the amount of volume or demand, right?
And that happened earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier this year, totally. You know, just a really quick recap here. Typically, in any given year, there's $1.2 to $2.1 trillion in mortgage applications. This year, we're averaging about $6 trillion in mortgage applications. Mm. So it's literally, you know, three to four times the amount of what we're dealing with on a day in and day out basis since February and March. This is not a 1 month or 2 month deal. So with that, you know, there's a lot more supply and demand there. Brief time earlier this year, a lot of the mortgage companies in the country raised interest rates a little bit, just honestly to slow down the volume. They had to, because there was so much backlog. And what happens when there's too much backlog, you don't have staff to service it. You have extended close times. You could lose your rate lock expiration. And then there's another factor that a lot of people out there dealt with this year is, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be employed in 2 weeks from now,
right.
You know, and we're still seeing that. And certainly, you know, our Northwest and there are the other parts of the country where companies are just now starting to, you know, show the effects of what COVID did to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shutting down businesses or laying off employees or bringing them back only part time. So I think we'll still continue to see some effects of that. And that economic uncertainty is something we all need to watch carefully.
Variables.
Yeah. And just kind of transitioning into more of the section two, going into historical mortgage data. So I think that's one thing that we do need to hit base on. So we're looking at a chart here, and you can look in the show notes and we reference where we get all our information. But for national average, referencing back 4 years ago, the starting average interest rate was at 3.75 and the ending rate post-election was 4.2. So you're seeing a roundup of a half a percentage worsening. However, the 2012 and 2008 election, you saw improvements. So there's what's going to happen? I really, really...
I mean, I'm a big numbers guy, finance, you know, major. So I love data. I love historical data. But, you know, we're making good points here. I think it's a good use to know what the historical data did. And so basically when we're looking at, you know, some of these numbers, this is from 1972 up till 2016 election time periods, November and December, like Addie's mentioning, you know, some elections maybe increased a tiny bit, some where the rates maybe decreased a tiny bit, but you saw over that, we're going to call it a 40-year mm-hmm. span. Mm-hmm. It was only, you know, anywhere from about 0.4 you know, change. So just under a 0.5% change. So nothing crazy there, right? I mean, you're not seeing giant swings. No. So that's a 40-year historical data point. Okay, great. But we have mentioned that this year is a lot different than...
Yeah, we haven't had a pandemic in the last
previous years, right? I mean, they had some pandemics, just different types, right? All different types of stuff going through the years, but not like what we're dealing
with. Not a global pandemic.
Not a global pandemic. Not a, you know, it was different stuff. Recessions or whatever.
This is hitting everybody.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what makes 2020 so much different. So we have the historical data, which helps us back it.
Mm-hmm.
At least gives us an idea on, you know, what has happened in the past. But you have to try to figure out what's going to happen with the new variables and changes now, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just if anyone's hopping on right now, just to remind everyone, we're talking about how the election impacts your mortgage. So just like Kempers, I know you were peppering off so many stats and all of this jazz prior to jumping on here, and I really want to hear more of your take.
Well,
you're coming from.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of clients that are sitting on the fence right now. They're mm-hmm. they're wanting advice. They're wanting to get some knowledge about, should I wait? You know, with 63% of loan applications being refinances right now, you got a lot of people trying to lower the interest rate, and then they want to know if it's going to go back under 3%. Now, we did have a couple different changes to the refinancing mm-hmm. with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac doing that 0.5 point or 0.375 mm-hmm. hit for a market correction. And so that affected and slowed things down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a shortage in the Pacific Northwest of inventory, basically zero inventory from $500,000 purchase and below. So, you know, the stock market and the everything is attached to housing. You know, a lot of it's all attached to each other. So that supply and demand. But I want to get some information out for the people that are on that fence. I think that interest rates are, you know, like what Casey said, there hasn't been a big dip on either side. And me and Bree talked about what's that look like on a $300,000 mortgage, you know, for an 0.8 point. Do I take that risk of saving $30 a month? Right. Or that I can lock in right now knowing that if it does drop an 1/8 or if it goes up, you know, 0.75 point, that affects you a lot more.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, on a $300,000 mortgage, it's $20 a month for an 1/8, every 1/8 an interest rate. So right now, you know, September was the pretty much the all-time low of interest rates. And we're still incredibly low, you guys. I mean, right near 40-year lows and then some. So you have to look at it as, okay, do I rather risk, you know, losing $20 a month, or do I risk losing $60 to $80 a month if it goes up 0.75 point, right, for example? If you like the rate you're in, it's a fantastic rate. If you like what you're being offered, do it. Lock it in, move forward, get off the fence. And we mean that because it's such a little difference in what you would save if you wait another few weeks or a few months relative to how much you could potentially lose.
Yeah. So, there's something nice about laying your head down on the pillow at night, knowing that you're locked in. All right, I already budgeted. This is a great rate. Yeah, if my neighbor gets, you know, 1/8 point, you know, better than me, who cares? It's not really bragging rights, because that 1/8 point, they may have paid a lot more for that 1/8 point.
Exactly.
So let's look at APR and all true numbers, but let's just talk about the true facts. You know, we know that interest rates are low right now. If you're purchasing right now, you want to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row with a great pre-approval. It's even lower for the people that are purchasing because you're not getting hit with that market correction. So there's still some phenomenal rates at 3% or close to that. But I think, you know, from if we're looking at the home pricing markets, what it's usually a buyer's market in that year that you are purchasing, an election year. We're typically seeing, you know, the year before an election, we're seeing an average of 6% market value up. In the year that there is an election, we're seeing that right around 4.5 historically. And then that following year, it's at 5.3. So we're not really seeing that this year. So back to, man, this is an anomaly year of election, because we're still seeing home pricings increase at 6% or greater.
Yeah, it's well said. And I do want to pat in, like, when we're talking about interest rates, there's so much compliance put together on that. So, like, it's going to be subject to who you're working with, where you live in the United States, your credit score, your loan program, your down payment. But generally speaking, one thing to know too, guys, if you've got a really small loan amount, the swings aren't going to affect nearly what you think, because it's so much smaller. So if you're borrowing, say, $750,000, that's an eighth's going to make a massive difference on the total interest paid on a certain timeline. But if it's only a $150,000 loan, like you said, it's nice to, you know, sleep well.
You're right.
That's a great point. And also for buy downs, you know, we get asked a lot about, hey, can I buy down my interest rate? If you're paying a point to buy down a rate on a $200,000 loan, it's a lot less than if you're paying a point to buy it on a $600,000 loan.
Yep.
So, you know, you could have a difference in interest rate just merely because it costs you pennies compared to somebody else on their loan amount.
Yeah, you got to focus on that break-even point for cost-associated fees.
We love those break-evens in Excels. You want them, we got them.
And just to kind of do a midpoint on the show, everyone, if you are sitting there thinking about refinancing, preparing to buy or sell, and need someone that you can trust and advise, we're here to create that transparent, safe place of knowledge and growing and mastering your mortgage. And you can reach out to us directly. We're here as a support line, right, Casey?
Yeah, we do. We got a good support line. And I'll start that off with 503-847-9038. Oh,
and we did a full loop around
there.
We
kind of like hooked it.
But
seriously, guys, use that. Like, seriously, because we had some call-ins. You know, we've had call-ins, people looking to relocate, people just having questions. Even if they got something going on, you know, it's nice to have just a voice of reassurance behind you when you got some questions.
Yeah, we get reach outs from all over the country.
We had one today.
We had a good one today. So,
is that a call or a call and text number?
It's either or.
All right.
It's the very modernized communication line.
We're all about the modern.
For the modern loan officer.
Once again, everyone, you're listening to MLO, and we are chatting about how the election today impacts your mortgage. And we're moving into what section are we at?
I want to roll section three, I think.
Section three. Does the presidential election actually affect your mortgage?
Right. And I think the big...
Sounds a lot like the title.
It sounds a lot like the title, but I think the twist here is, and we want to be, you know, open with everybody out there. Like, we're not trying to push any political sides here. We're just talking transparency, but obviously there's, you know, people have different parties that they associate with. So I think that that's kind of this section, what it's getting to. Like, is there going to be a difference, you know, maybe between having a Democratic Party or maybe a Republican Party take office? Well, let me throw some stats at you from the back. So since 1971, there's been 11 presidential elections, 6 won by Republicans and 4 by Democrats. Off of the, you know, research that we grabbed, I am no historian by any means.
It's in the show notes.
So there's been 10 outcomes out of that. And what we're looking at is, out of the 10 outcomes, what happened with the rates? Now, the 11th outcome, actually nothing happened. The rates remained completely steady, and that was 1972 with Nixon. So they threw that one out as an outlier. So out of the 10 other elections...
I did the double beat.
Oh, yeah. Nice. He threw up the two fingers for everyone that's not watching and listening. He threw up the Nixon fingers. At the end of the day, out of the 10 outcomes where rates... change, they actually differed from start to finish. So from the 10 elections, the rates did change from start to finish. And what it was rates ended lower than they started. So big point there, guys. Out of the 10 elections where rates did change, they ended lower than where they started. And out of the biggest out of that, it was, hang on, let me find it. It's, 6 were won by Republicans, 4 by Democrats. So take that into fact. So if
it's
you're
pretty
looking,
even on both sides.
Pretty even on both sides. It's basically long-winded what I'm getting at. I know people are tied to parties. I'm sure you guys got some jump-ins there. But that's good data to know.
It's very good data to know. And I would say one of the throw-togethers here is, I don't know if we can overcome the supply and demand. So typically in any economical situation, when there's a massive amount of demand and short of supply, what happens to the cost to cure? It goes up. It
goes up.
But this is one of those few things where the financing charges or the interest in this situation has gone down. But it's hard to bet that demand is continuing to increase, supply is continuing to go down, and we're thinking it's going to be cheaper to borrow money. That's a tough bet to make. Right.
That's why the historic is great. It's historic data, but man, this year is just different, guys. Way different.
And we have a lot of millennials buying right now. And guess what? That's just recently been seen as going up drastically over the last couple years.
It's almost at 40% of new home buyers, I believe.
And we're going to keep on seeing that as they're starting to have families and creating, especially after this pandemic, more and more they want to have their own place. People are working from home. So I feel like that demand is going to still keep on a rise. And with economic recovery, which we're hoping to see with unemployment and the housing, new home builds and everything else and permits, we're going to see interest rates, you know, start to, you know, have to go up with the economy, you know. So I think right now is one of the best times because you're going to be in a market where, you know, home prices are still going up. You can lock in a low interest rate for 30 years. I mean, come on, people. This seems like one of the best times in U.S. history to buy.
Come on, come on. I want to throw in a curveball.
Well, and right now, you at least know what you're getting, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no change. Like, what, well, you know, you know what the payment's going to be. You know what the rate is. Like, there's no worry. No risk, I should say. No variable. I don't know.
So I've got a little bit of a quick story we could throw in.
Story time.
Story time.
It was very recent. So over the weekend, so we're here in Oregon where we get to do mail-in voting. And I'm sitting there going through all the measures that are up in Multnomah County, which is Portland, Oregon, right? And they send you this packet of like 100 pages, and it talks about all the measures and the pros, the cons, the in favor, the against. And I'm reading through it. The same day, I get my property tax cert. And it yanked up. It was like a 7% increase. And I'm reading through all these measures, and it's like all raising property taxes. Do you want to put money into the schools or put money into this? And I'm reading through, and I really did a good job.
Translate
like,
everything.
Both my wife and I like have read through them all, and we're very even. But it made me think, you know, one of the biggest variables actually for homeowners is if those measures pass, the increase in your property tax.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So the election year does impact more than just mortgage interest rates, your monthly payment on how you're voting and what measures.
What a good
point, Addy. You should be a Zoom teacher.
Nail him with the crowd cheer.
I think he is.
Yes. Help us with some homeschooling.
There it is.
Oh, there it is. But that's a big one, guys. People don't understand that's one of the variables in your monthly payment.
You're right. Let's just say, I mean, what if it was $200, guys? I mean, $200 on your property taxes, you know? Like, I mean, every dollar counts when you're trying to, you know, make sure you're covering for monthly cash flow.
That's one variable you can't lock in is what your property taxes
become,
you know?
Great point. It's a great point, Addy.
And I encourage everyone to get out there and vote if you haven't voted. Get it done.
Yes,
It done. So shall we move to our, are we on our final section?
We're on section four.
Ooh. Cruising along nicely.
Yeah, and we've touched into this section, I think, a little bit as we've gone through. But basically, you know, it's something that you want to make sure how we're pointing out that this year is just different than kind of a lot of stuff we've been bringing up with you guys, the past data, the historical data, the stuff that, you know, we're going to try to use to make future decisions. But this year is just different. Mm-hmm. And why? And what?
Yeah, the pandemic brings forth, and for me, it's that supply and demand. Like, it is so hard to wrap my head around how this year has been an increase in demand, a decrease in supply, but cost to finance has also trended downward. Mm-hmm. That's so strange.
And I'll give you the trend right here. I mean, I have it. It's almost like a percent or even more from just September of last year to September of this year, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Down.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
It's a huge difference for that person that may have been in that $400,000 range buying a house that they were qualified for. Now, because interest rates are so much lower, they can buy the house at, you know, around, you know, $480,000 at the same kind of mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. So you got to look at all these different indicators and where your personal situation is, you know, because it may not be the best time for you to buy. We've had that episode too. So when you're talking to an MLO loan officer and we're going through all these stats and statistics with you, we're going to dig into some of those, you know, heartstrings of why is this a good time? And we're going to look at all of your assets and say, hey, this is how we can reallocate. Or maybe, you know, we can look at finding some additional pay off this, and we can go ahead and get you into that, you know, a dream home that you want to be in and still take advantage of these low interest rates.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on top of what we have coming up here with the election in November, there's also several big things that are happening in November. We've got the, you know, the stimulus package that should be addressed here soon, which will make an impact on the economy. If we raise the debt level, so a lot of times people think that, hey, the more debt we have, right, the higher the interest rates are.
Right.
But it actually works in an introverted way. So the more debt that we carry, which, you know, we were talking earlier with the stimulus package, once if that's approved, it should take us up to about 27 to 29 trillion.
Yeah. Another so 2 trillion, yes.
With more debt, interest rates actually decrease a little bit. So we've got the stimulus package coming up here, and then we also have some of the final trials for a possible COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. And if if by next summer we are all maskless and hugging each other again, mm-hmm. and getting back to barbecues and fairs, which we'd all love to do, then we can, you know, definitely the interest rates would actually go up because mm-hmm. of that.
Great point. That's a good point. Yeah. And guys, that debt number she's talking about is real. I mean, we're at 22 trillion. If that goes through, I think it puts us up to like 29 trillion, and they were estimating 30 trillion of debt by 2030, guys. So that's bumping 7 to 9 trillion in debt in 1 year. I mean, that's going to have some ripple effects.
Yeah. Yeah, it does tie together. I think one of the biggest misperceptions too is, don't forget, when you are hearing news or people talk about the feds and interest rates, the feds do not set your mortgage interest rates.
That's right.
There's so many exchangeable hands from, I like to say, the feds set the interest rate for access to money for businesses and corporations to continue doing business. The businesses itself set that margin from what they borrowed it to what you got. And that is very, very indicative to supply and demand. So understand that, guys. Speaking of backyard barbecues, mm-hmm. don't listen to what you hear at every backyard barbecue.
Uncle Jimmy. No.
Unless you're at Casey's. He's always right.
Yeah, I mean, we got some stuff.
And even the media, you know, sometimes you pull up MSN
the news,
or something like that, it pops up. Interest rates, you know, drop again to record lows. I just saw that earlier this week. But then if you go actually into the mortgage rates, they show a little uptick. So definitely, you know, watch for those little tickers that come out.
And we're watching them every day, guys. I get it on my Apple Watch, MBS market update, 5 basis points, up, down, up, down. And then you talk to 7 people in one day and they're like, I heard interest rates took a huge swing down. And it's because they're just reading an article. Mm-hmm. And the article could have been written in March of 2020. Rarely do ever anyone looks at the date of what they're Googling.
Come on, guys. Don't you remember?
But they move all. I'm getting like all jacked up. I think it might have been some of that Red Bull I had.
It's good Red Bull.
Take a deep breath. The thing is, like, they change all the time. And our job, and I like to tell our clients, is it is my job to get you the best possible rate I can at the lowest cost, what makes sense for your mortgage strategy. Mm-hmm. The break-even point, how long you're going to be in the house, what I can do to time the market, the appropriate lock length. Mm-hmm. So you gotta understand they're changing all the time, and what you just Google isn't always biblical.
Totally. Right. Totally. I think there's a big point here is that, you know, people listening to this episode or watching it, you know, want to know the question, which is the title of our topic here. Mm-hmm. You know, how is the election going to impact your mortgage? In September, out of all the mortgage applications going on, and trust me, there is hundreds of thousands out there. There's tons of them out there. Mm-hmm. 65% were people refinancing, guys. That means 65% of people, you know, we don't know if they're locked in or not, but they're in the process of, you know, how am I putting this together? Should I lock in, you know, in this process of it? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of people going into, you know, a possible change in the economy and presidential election, all that mm-hmm. stuff, with maybe uncertainty. So hopefully.
I think they're banking on, this is rates are low. I want to do this before the election day. I want to make sure I go back to putting my head down on the pillow at night. I don't have to worry about all the uncertainty the day after election and see things go up or down. And it could be just a spike, you know, where we see a spike real quick and then things drop back down, or spike down and things go back up. We don't know how, you know, some of our affiliates, banks, and lending institutions are going to do with the interest rates, because, like you said, you know, the Fed sets, you know, the money that's being given out. But, mm-hmm. you know, if there's more demand, they might have to slow down applications again, you know, and same thing. So I predict
Yeah, let's move into predictor. I was supposed to at the beginning of the show to give everyone a little teaser. Hang little on tease. For our predictor, but I missed that. I think it was the intro music got me jazzed up, and I just over the head. But let's go predictor. Everyone predict what they think they're going to happen.
So
with
this is
rates.
It, guys. Tune in. Here it is.
I think they're going to go up a little bit, and the reason is I
define
think
a little bit.
A little bit, maybe a half a point. I think I think we could, we might see him go back to the 3.625 to 3.75, especially on a refinance. I think, you know, interest rates on a purchase might be around that 3.5, 3.375, a slight tick up. And that's due to the fact that there's lots of confidence still in the stock market. We got a lot of medical stock markets or stocks that are, we're seeing some big money pushed in there. And then there are going to be some people that are going to maybe put it into mortgage-backed securities, you know, just because it's a safer place,
little
too.
MBS.
And then we're going to see things kind of slide back down. But I see a little bit of an uptick, a little steady, and then maybe a downtick.
So Kemper's thing, 0.5 uptick.
Up. Flat.
Flat coming back down.
Tabletop.
Okay, and just so to let everyone know out there, too, on purchases and rate and term refi, which means you're not pulling any equity out. You're just improving the rate and term. Those are usually going to be more competitive, meaning lower terms and interest rates. Correct. If you're pulling equity out, that's a whole other algorithm of adjusters and paying off debt and pulling. So those interest rates typically are going to be higher than your just rate and term and your purchase, meaning you're buying a new home mortgage. So just throw that in there, subject to loan approval, loan program, credit, and whatever company you're working
and
for.
And loan type.
Let's go to Bree. Bring it to Casey after that, and then I'll give mine. What do you think, Bree?
Sounds great. So this is just to reiterate what Casey mentioned at the top of the program is this is very much nonpartisan. So I'm going to say this, but to divide it up as how my prediction is, but I am not putting any political influence on this. So I think that if Biden wins, I think the rates are going to go up about 3/8 of a point. I think they'll go up here pretty fast for the rest of the year, potentially go back, go down the first part of January to March 2021, kind of spur some more buying there through the winter. And then if we have, you know, COVID vaccines and some, you know, civil things get worked out, right?
Positive
and
indicators.
Right. And we're back to hugging again. Then I think we'll see them go up again next summer. If Trump wins, I think the rates will temporarily, and then in the few weeks afterwards, I think they will go up very slightly, about an eighth to a quarter. And then I think they will go down towards the end of this year about that same amount to go back to what Casey said in the beginning, even out exactly where we started, which historically is what happens.
Nailed it, Tank. Can I just say what she said?
Ditto. Just say ditto.
Personally, yeah, I think my prediction would be it's going to go up 0.125 to 0.25. It'll settle after the election, and I think that's going to happen depending, no matter which party's elected. I think it's going to go up a little bit. And then I think it's going to settle back down and decrease. But my big swing will be, that's going to determine on, I think, policy changes and stuff like that. So mine is up a quarter, and then we'll come back down after, you know, election settles off. But I might change the coming back down to going back up, or, you know, depends if policies are changing. So I'm going to make my guess, with that quarter up and then back down.
And then there's other things happening here, right? Like the stocks, because, you know, income taxes, depending on who wins, could go up, which means people will take money out of their stocks and put it into the house, which then will go into the housing bond market.
Why pay the taxes on it?
So there's a lot of things happening there behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you just segued into my prediction, which I think in November 1st to the 7th, the day after the election, I think and predict a lot of people are going to be moving their money out of futures. So I think the people that are making money in the stock market right now, the big players in the game, not your like Robin Hood investors flipping Bitcoin and stuff like 80% that.
80% stockholders.
I'm talking about big players in the game. I think they're going to slide out right before election, move all their money to safe securities and bonds. And I think you're going to see that impact the interest rates to go down. I think you're going to see a 0.125 to 0.25 decrease on that first week in November. Nice. And then you'll see a restabilization. And I don't think I can predict what's going to happen after, because I don't know who the new president's going to be. But I do predict week one of November, we will see the interest rates drop. We'll have a big drop week one, and I'm going to say that, not all wishy-washy.
Everybody likes Addy's prediction.
I do. I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right, too.
0.125, 0.25 increase.
It just drives me nuts when people are like, I'm going to be cautious. What kind of advisement is that? Let's pick a direction. Right. You can be right or wrong. I don't care. But to play the middle card, I think you got to make a choice. However, if you're sitting on a great deal, you're within 30 days of closing in a transaction, mm-hmm. I think you should be looking to
close that up.
Manage any risk. Go ahead and do that. Get with your mortgage advisor this week and button that up. If you're doing a refinance, guys, like I would say, get in, talk to someone here at the MLO, get an application going, get through underwriting, because most of the time with volume so high, you got to get through underwriting. You can't pre-lock things.
That's right.
It's taking a lot longer on refinances. So get that initial piece set up, right, Christian?
Yeah, we have strategies put in place just mm-hmm. for this type of situation. So get with our MLO team member, and we can explain how that works out.
Let's remind them how to get a hold of us, everybody.
I got a 503.
847-9038. You can hit us up on that line, everyone. Let's round it out. Casey, what else you got for me today?
Wednesday, hump day. We appreciate everybody tuning in to the new season 2 of MLO, right? Episode number 2. So we do appreciate that. We got a lot of good content we're trying to drum up for everybody. But if you do have comments, please shoot them out to any of these social media posts we got going on. We want to bring your questions in. We want to make it engaging and act, you know, accordingly to you guys. The show's for you. It's not for us. I mean, we love listening to each other talk, but
Casey does a great job on his personal social media, too. I love seeing what you're posting and your stories. You're a good story.
Yeah, I like stories. Shout out to Linda out there.
Bree, anything from you on your end over there?
Just be good to everyone. You know, the next 2 weeks, you know, we've gotten through, 5 or 6 weeks now of homeschool, and we've got Halloween coming up, and who knows who's trick-or-treating or not, and we've got the election. Just be good to each other.
Yeah.
You know, we can solve anything, I think, almost with being good to each other.
That's really well said. On Pink Day.
Bree
on Pink
Fisher,
Day,
2024.
That's right. I just want to celebrate all those cancer survivors and everybody that's been affected by cancer. And also just want to tell everybody to get out there and vote. This is the time.
Yes.
Make the change.
Vote. Yeah.
Thanks
vote.
For having us wear the pink today, Bree.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. Yeah. Great idea.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining in, too.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And if you ain't watching, You gotta be watching. You should be listening.
You
try to do both of them. So, once again, everyone, you've been listening to
MLO.
And until next time, y'all, we're gonna catch you later.
Everybody, watch out now.
Watch out now.
For the time, and I came to groove.